Start your morning full of divine intervention. The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Seize the Day. From Tampa, Florida, here's your host, Gus Lloyd.
Good morning, child of God.
Seize the day. Take charge and take a stand. Cause life flashes by like a shooting star in the nighttime sky. Seize the day. Open your heart to all God's grace. Then nothing stands in your way. Come seize the day.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, child of God.
Indeed, it is a very good morning, child of God. Welcome, my friend, to Seize the Day. I am Gus Lloyd. Thank you for tuning in here on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. I hope you had a fantastic day yesterday, and I pray that today will be the best day that the Lord has ever given unto thee. Yes, even amidst all the challenges that we're facing right now, God is still in control, and God is still at work. He's still at work in the background, and He is still working on those seeds of grace in your life. So I want you to know you're in my prayers. You and your family pray for you every single day. I simply ask that you remember me and my family in your prayers. Thank you very much for doing that. And as well, I hope you'll recommend Seize the Day to your friends and your family members. Would you do that? Let them know you listen. Invite them to tune in. We would love to have your friends and your family on board with us for what we're doing around here. And what we're doing around here is just having some great conversation, some coffee talk across the breakfast table each and every day. Because of the times we find ourselves in, you probably have figured out that we have not been able to take your phone calls recently, which really is, you know, kind of a, it hurts my heart. But nonetheless, we have been able to talk to some really fascinating people over the course of this past week. And that's going to continue on for the foreseeable future. Naturally, I'll let you know as soon as that gets taken care of. But I do want you to know one thing. We are going to have a program next week, Conversation with Cardinal Dolan, where Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, will be taking your calls live. That will happen on Monday, the 23rd of March at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you have any questions that you'd like to run by Cardinal Dolan, just tune in on Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for Conversation with Cardinal Dolan. And again, that will be a live program, and he will be taking phone calls. So like I say, if you've ever wanted to talk to the Cardinal or you got a question for him, make sure and give him a call Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Conversation with Cardinal Dolan, a very special live edition. Well, I got to tell you, things have just been very, very interesting now. I know that a lot of folks are struggling, and of course, we have been praying for folks each and every day. The long-term consequences of all this have yet to be seen. But, you know, I feel very confident that, as I said just a little while ago, God is in control and He is doing a mighty work. I don't know how all this is going to work out, but I believe that. I believe that God is doing a mighty work. I'm a believer in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. As I say, I'm a firm believer in that. You know, I just wanted to run something by you here real quick too. Just a thought about something historical. You remember the 1918 Spanish flu. It had a devastating effect on not just the U.S., but the entire world. It wiped out millions of people in Europe and the U.S. and all across the world. It was a horrific event. I don't believe that this is going to be anything like that. But for a little bit of historical context, I was just thinking about this yesterday, and I thought to myself, you know, After 1918 and after the world got through the Spanish flu, what happened? Do you remember the 1920s and what we referred to about the 1920s here in the United States of America? We referred to them as the Roaring Twenties. It was a time of pretty much unprecedented prosperity in the United States of America. Now, I'm not saying that we can make an apples to apples comparison, but I do want to say once it seems that once we get through some kind of crisis here in the U.S. anyway, we come back stronger than ever. And so if you're feeling a little bit down, if you're feeling maybe even a little bit hopeless now, I hope you'll think about the future and think about what the future might look like, because I believe that the future is so bright. We're all going to have to be wearing sunglasses as we get into it. All right, so just a thought. So we've got a lot to talk about as we go through the hour. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is good liturgy. And joining me now to talk about that and numerous other things is the Archbishop of San Francisco, California, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, here to tell us a little bit about the Mass of the Americas and many other things. Archbishop, good morning. Welcome to Seize the Day. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being here this morning. Archbishop, I hope that at first we can talk about coronavirus, how it's affected you and your diocese and the people, and you know, what your plans are for now.
Yes, well, it certainly has affected it very acutely, especially as of yesterday, St. Patrick's Day. The whole, all the counties around the San Francisco Bay are on a, they call it a shelter-in-place order. They want everyone to stay at home. Only essential businesses can be open. And they're not exempting religious services. Now, I'm hoping they'll make some accommodation there. But even if they do, the numbers would have to be far reduced with respect to social distancing that's required. So I don't like the idea of our churches being completely empty and not, no services happening. So I've asked my priest to celebrate Mass in the parish church with just one altar server present and no one else. Many parishes have the technology to live stream their Masses, so I've asked them to do that, those who can, so parishioners can watch the Mass. They can follow it remotely with their pastor. He can communicate with them in real time. They could go back and look at it, of course, but they can also follow in real time. He can communicate with them from the pulpit. So that's the main thing that we're doing to try to help our people. We're going to leave the churches open during the day so people can come in to pray, urging them to practice the usual safety precautions, of course. So this is a great hardship on very many of our people. But, you know, a friend of mine recently sent me some excerpts of a book that the then Cardinal Ratzinger wrote back in the 80s called Behold the Pierced One, where he speaks about fasting from the Eucharist, where he thinks this could have some advantage for us. He says, you know, we often take reception of the Blessed Sacrament too lightly. So this kind of spiritual fasting could be of service to deepen and renew our relationship to the body of Christ and our appreciation of this great gift. He speaks about how that was done in ancient times. There was no communion given on Good Friday in ancient times. He says, St. Augustine, as he puts it, excommunicated himself toward the end of his life, took on public penance to prepare, you know, for eternity. So he thinks that this kind of spiritual fasting could be useful to us and renew our appreciation and show solidarity with those who do not have access to the sacrament. So I think we need to see this as a time of renewing our appreciation of the sacrament. I think these words are very appropriate to our own time, because certainly in our own day, I think it's marked by an attitude of sort of casualness toward the Blessed Sacrament. So hopefully this can renew a deeper appreciation and desire to be truly worthy when we receive.
Yeah, you know, Archbishop, one of my prayers has certainly been that this will cause the effect of absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know, and that as we do make the great sacrifice of not being able to receive Christ Jesus in the Eucharist, that it will embolden our hunger for the Eucharist more and more. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, the Archbishop of San Francisco, with me this morning here on Seize the Day. I wonder, too, Archbishop, about regarding closing churches and Masses, will confessions still be available? And if so, how will that work?
Yes, a good point. I did issue an instruction about that as well. Yes, confessions will continue. When I consulted with the deans in our archdiocese, the parishes are very different situations. One of them said that they have lots of confessions. And this, interestingly enough, is a parish that's renowned for a large, very active young adult community. He said they get lots and lots of confessions, and if they have confessions in the parish church at the regularly posted times, the church will be crowded, and so it will go beyond these safety distances that they're urging on us. So he said he could not hear confessions in the church at regularly posted times. So I've asked the pastors in those parishes where they don't anticipate there will be such a large crowd at regularly posted times to hear confessions in the parish church at those times, but in either in an open space or kind of a spacious room such as a sacristy, where the 6 feet distance rule can be observed, but also confidentiality respected. Otherwise, they should communicate thoroughly to their parishioners that for confession they should call the rectory for a parish office, rather for an appointment, and they can arrange confession in that way.
Realizing this,
I continue to offer confession.
Great. Now, realizing too, this is a very fluid situation. Of course, we all know that. Do you have at this moment a date for resumption of public masses in your archdiocese?
It's hard to say because it is so fluid. It's so unpredictable. This shelter in place order is in effect until April 7th, which unfortunately that's Tuesday of Holy Week. It's after Palm Sunday. So we'll be under this ordinance until at least until then. Now, as that time approaches, they'll reassess and determine it. Do they need to extend this? Can it be relaxed? We won't know until the time approaches.
Yeah, one other thing too, Archbishop. I know that this had to be a very, very difficult decision for you. And I'd kind of like to have you speak to that, to our listeners about that, because I know that, you know, many bishops have kind of come under heat from some of the faithful about the idea of canceling masses and kind of giving in, et cetera. What is the mindset of a bishop or an archbishop when you make a decision like this? How much does this weigh upon you personally?
Oh, it weighs very heavily. To be honest, a little less now since it's so clear what we've been ordered to do. A few days ago, like you said, this is changing, you know, day to day. A few days ago, the requirements for restricting this kind of social contact exempted religious services. And so then it was harder to make a determination. And we had, with another group of priests I consulted with, there were differences of opinion. Some thought we should shut down the masses because this is spreading quickly. People need to be kept safe. Another pastor said this is a largely Hispanic parish that his people could not envision not having the availability of mass. He said some of his people, even before this was announced, were afraid because the churches might be closed. They had heard this happening. They said they were crying out of fear that this might happen to them. So it was really hard to weigh the needs. But I did allow the masses to continue, but was urging the safety precautions at the time. Now we can't do that because of this ordinance, which I said I hope we can get this relaxed down the line, because certainly spirituality, religious services is an essential service. So we need to press that on our officials. But in any case, we need to do everything we can to protect our people and to do our part in slowing down the spread of this virus.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of the Archdiocese of San Francisco with me this morning, and I'm Gus Lloyd. Welcome, you're on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Well, I know something that you're very excited about, Archbishop, is the Mass of the Americas. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, well, the Eucharist, of course, this longing in our hearts, the Church is the source and summit of our faith, right? And the Church has always given our celebration of the Eucharist our best, right? And as focused beauty into our celebration of the Eucharist. This is part of these three transcendentals. We speak of truth, beauty, and goodness, the three attributes of God. We're created in God's image and likeness, so the three noblest parts of our human nature. We bring all those to bear in our celebration of the Eucharist. The Mass of the Americas is an attempt to revive this great tradition. And compositions of new masses, of beautiful sacred music, but that can reflect, they also reflect the times that we're in, but also have a timeless quality because they're in continuity with the great tradition of sacred music and sacred polyphony. Which these masses, classical, beautiful masses, were not composed at times when everything was tranquil and prosperous. We could think about some of the most beautiful church music ever composed is Renaissance polyphony. Well, just think about what was happening in the 16th century with the divisions in the church, with the Protestant Reformation, there were plagues, there was all kinds of social upheaval. But from that came some of the most beautiful music that has ever been composed. So we're trying to revive this tradition. The Mass of the Americas came about a couple of years ago when in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, we celebrate archdiocesan-wide Our Lady of Guadalupe the Saturday before the feast day so everyone can participate at our cathedral. And in 2018, I noticed that day was going to be December the 8th. which would be a holy day of obligation here in the United States because she's our patroness, Immaculate Conception. But we would have all these festivities with processions and music and devotions to celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe while celebrating the Mass of the Immaculate Conception, patroness of the United States, patroness of Mexico and all of the Americas. So I asked our composer in residence, Frank LaRocca, to compose a Mass to signal unity. Unity by tapping into our Catholic culture, our common Catholic culture, our heritage of sacred music, and within that sacred music to weave in the sounds and even the melodies of popular songs the Mexican people sing to honor Our Lady of Guadalupe so they can hear this and resonate with this and feel a sense of connection and that feeling of being at home. And use various languages. Most of it is in Latin. That's our common Catholic patrimony. Some parts are in Spanish. A couple of parts are in English. We even composed a communion meditation, which is the Hail Mary, translated into Nahuatl, the language of the Aztec people, which then would have been the language that Our Lady spoke to St. Juan Diego in. So we call this the Mass of the Americas, and it's kind of accomplished this goal of unity and re-energizing a Catholic culture of art and of beauty, especially in our sacred worship. And I referred often to the fact that we have lots of examples of this in the church, including here locally in California. I've often referred to the mission churches that the Franciscan missionaries built here in California. Mission church architecture is exactly that. It's a development of the tradition that reflects the local culture, but is also timeless because it's a classical Catholic church. But in terms of building materials used, the colors, the style of art that is developed reflects the local culture. And it's kind of a reverse enculturation. It's enculturated into the secular culture. Mission church architecture is a very popular style of architecture, secular buildings here in California. I think it's a good example of how the church is always enculturated, and we're seeking to revive this type of enculturation that's in keeping with the beautiful and great patrimony that we have in our culture and in the arts.
Now, I'm curious, Your Excellency, do you see this as being this or maybe a form of it as being a regular Mass setting that could be used at any time, anywhere? Is this just for special occasions? How does that look?
Very good question. I'm glad you asked it. The way it's originally composed is it's very demanding. You would need a professional choir and also musicians because there's a string quartet, a guitar, an organ, of course. So guitar is kind of more sort of an indigenous, culturally sensitive, and even a marimba with a little, not like Brazil 66, you know, but a little like vibrato in the background in the Ave Maria, the Nahuatl meditation. That's a native indigenous instrument. So that could not be. But our composer, Frank LaRocca, has adapted this Mass to a parish setting. So good parish choir would be able to sing this in the parish. He also did another adaptation when I celebrated this Mass at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. last November in the form of a solemn high pontifical Mass in the extraordinary form. So he adapted the music to extraordinary form. Some things had to be put into Latin, and the entrance song is a song that Mexican people would sing going to church. A villancico, it's called, the Cantico del Alba. So we used that at the beginning during the vesting rites. It was outside of the time of the Mass because it was in the vernacular. And this Hail Mary and Nahuatl was done at the end as I was unvesting. So it's another sign of unity to try to show continuity with the church's worship between the two forms of the Roman Rite. And it was also truly beautiful and a good sign of what active participation really means. So the choir was singing all of the music. The Basilica was jam crowded, but you know, the people were totally engaged.
Yeah.
It's what active participation really means deep in the consciousness, deep in the soul. They were totally riveted to what was happening at the Mass.
Yeah, and that's what good and beautiful liturgy will do. The Archbishop of San Francisco, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, is with me this morning here on Seize the Day. So I'm just curious, real quick question about sort of behind the scenes things, Archbishop. How would you popularize a setting like this Would that be something where you would recommend it to other bishops? Would it just sort of grow organically on its own? How would that happen?
We're trying to promote it actively, but in order to spur some more kind of organic grassroots growth, we did it, okay, for the first time here December 8th here in San Francisco 2018, but then we've celebrated it in a few months later in Tijuana. Actually, the Archbishop of Tijuana is a musician himself who was hosting a National Congress of Liturgical Music. He wanted it as the concluding mass for that. We've celebrated it now in Washington, D.C. There are other places that are interested in celebrating it, and some parishes even that have adapted it to their parish already. So we had about, after the Mass in Washington, D.C., about 50 requests to bring the Mass to different dioceses, to different parishes. So it's this organic growth is already beginning, and we're trying to continue bringing the Mass on the road to spur that forward. Again, it's an attempt to reestablish the Catholic culture of the arts. The Church has always been the great patroness of the arts, right, and champion of the arts. And the most beautiful art and music and architecture and beauty has come from the bosom of the Church. But it seems the Church has been largely absent for the last 50 or more years from the whole world of art. We need to re-engage that and energize the Catholic culture of the arts, so our Catholic faith, all that we have to bring to bear with art, with our Catholic imagination, but also applying that to art worship, to sacred beauty.
Yeah, hopefully this will spark a new interest and a new revolution. And I know if you're listening right now and you're interested, you'd like to hear some of this, see some of this, there is on YouTube, I think if you just search for the Mass of the Americas, you'll be able to see some of that on a YouTube video. Archbishop, thank you for your time. You've been very generous this morning. Before I let you go, would you be so kind as to offer our listeners your Episcopal blessing this morning?
Sure. If I could just mention a little thing more. If people want more information about the Mass of the Americas as well, another initiatives of the Benedict the 16th Institute that sponsored the Mass, they could go to the website, which is benedictinstitute.org.
BenedictInstitute.org. Thank you very much.
So we pray that the Lord might bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you kindly and grant you his peace, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Archbishop, and God's blessings to you and your parish and your ministry.
Thank you, and you too.
Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, the Archbishop of San Francisco, joining me this morning here on Seize the Day. I am Gus Lloyd. You know, there's really nothing like good liturgy, and it's an unfortunate thing, but many of us, me included, are going to be very much missing the liturgy. However, there are so many great ways for us as Catholics to tune in. So many churches are live streaming now, and of course, you can always listen to the Mass on the radio right here on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Don't go away. We've got lots more to talk about here on the Catholic Channel.